All be seated. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here we are in the second week of Lent. It'll be 2 weeks on Wednesday. And I'm going to read a piece from St. Irenaeus about the Decalogue. I think as we are going through this Lenten season of self-examination, trying to see what God sees in us and trying, with His help, to improve. I think it's good to this letter from St. Irenaeus talking about the Decalogue and what it means to us as we recite it every week. It isn't just a dry recital, but it's very meaningful. And when Jesus came, He came to fulfill the law, 10 of which we have, and I think there's 613 of them in the original law. And I've broken 2 or 3 of them. I think we all have. The covenant of the Lord, St. Irenaeus, against the heresies, is extraction. In Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people, "The Lord your God made a covenant with you in Horeb, not with your fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with you." Why did the Lord not make the covenant with your fathers? Because the law is not laid down for the just. Your fathers lived just lives because they had the meaning of the Decalogue implanted in their hearts and minds. That is, they loved God. And they loved the God that made them. And they did their neighbor no injury. So they did not need to be warned by written prohibitions, for they had the righteousness of the law in their hearts. When, however, in Egypt the righteousness and this love towards God were forgotten and became extinct, God was compelled by His deep love towards men to reveal Himself by a voice. With power He led His people out of Egypt so that man again might become the disciple of God and follow Him. So that they might not despise their Creator, He punished those who were disobedient. He fed them with manna so that they might have spiritual food. As Moses says in Deuteronomy, "He fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." He taught them to love God and instilled in them that righteousness which is towards their neighbor. In this way, they might be neither unjust nor unworthy of God. By the Decalogue, He instructed men to be friends with Himself and in harmony with their neighbor. Man is greatly helped by these things. God, however, stands in need of nothing from man. These blessings made man glorious, giving him what he lacked, friendship with God. They bestowed nothing on God, for God did not stand in need of man's love. Man did not have the glory of God. The only way that man could receive this glory was by obeying God. Therefore Moses said, "Choose life that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God and obeying His voice and cleaving to Him, for that means life to you and length of days." To prepare man for this life, God Himself spoke the words of the Decalogue to all men alike. And so these words remain with us too. By His coming in the flesh, God did not abrogate them. He extended and augmented them. As for the precept which enslaved, however, God imposed those on His people separately through Moses. These precepts were well devised to instruct or punish them, as Moses himself said, "The Lord commanded me at that same time to teach you statutes and ordinances." But the new covenant of liberty, but with the new covenant of liberty, God canceled those provisions which He had given to His people to enslave them and serve the purpose of a sign. At the same time, the laws which are natural and appropriate to free men and are applicable to all without distinction were amplified and widened out of the abundance of His love without grudging. God adopted men as His sons, and granted that they might know God as Father and love Him with all their heart and follow His word without turning aside. I think a lot of what is said there that man was enslaved to sin, as we all know. But God enslaved man in the right way by the law in the Old Testament, by giving him statutes and ordinances, telling them these things that they should do and should not do. And then God became man. Jesus did not set aside the law, but rather fulfilled it. I think that's one of the reasons it's good that we rehearse the Decalogue, because this is still applicable. Christ fulfilled them, but they were not set aside. The law was set so that we would know, as Paul says in Galatians, that the law is a schoolmaster to teach us. We go to school to learn. You know that it's part of the faculty there, that people come there to learn. And the law teaches us that we need God, and we need God in the form of Jesus, who fulfills the law. Now we go to the gospel for the day. I had difficulty with this at first, and the part that I think this may have been a sort of stumbling for us also. Then Jesus answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Think about it. It sounds insulting, doesn't it? But it isn't. It is what God does to each of us. He tests us. He lets things happen to us. Do we turn away from Him, or do we turn to Him? Her answer is, and I love this, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She realized her lowliness, as we all need to when we come to the cross. In this Lenten season, in our spirit and our mind, we prostrate before the cross. I see churches, I guess this one too, they have nails which will affix to a cross. And people will have the custom of besetting sin, write it on paper and nail it to the cross. We don't have to do that physically, but God wants us to do that as we go through this Lenten season. Find out those besetting sins which bother us. This lady realized that, and she said she would be benefited by crumbs which fell off the table. The crumbs which he had only touched, the crumbs that he prayed over and blessed. It fell to the floor. She was content to eat that. That's why that when we say in the Mass that in other places in the Gospel talk about gather everything that nothing be lost. And this also applies to people. We go out as we're able, as God gives us opportunity to share the Gospel with other people so that nothing will be lost. None of mankind shall be lost. Give them the chance to hear the Gospel. And that's part of what I hope to do for my Lenten exercises. As I go to Planned Parenthood and pray, we pray for those ladies that go in and out of there. And when they've come out and have had an abortion, we will counsel them also. We won't scold them and say, "You shouldn't have done it." We'll say, if you'll confess that to God, he'll forgive you of that and start over. And many of the people that I'm with down there, I would say 80% of the women have had an abortion, and they realize it, and they go to God, and God honors them and asks them in their prayer life to come and witness to women that are just thinking about abortion. But there are other things, many other disciplines we can do. But I go back to this humility to come before this table. And then realize that if a crumb falls on the floor, it's just as worthy as one that was in the pyx that I'll be served from. And she thought that. And now I love it. Jesus answered and said unto her and to us, a woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And she, her daughter, and we are made whole from that very hour. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.